If you have your Bibles this morning, you could turn to Psalm 18. Webster's Dictionary defines the word retrospect this way. It's a review of, consideration of, a meditation upon the past or a past event. Retrospect. The review, the considering of, the meditation upon the past or a past event. This week and even still the next day or so is good for that. We look with excitement, we look with anticipation into the new year, and we spend time reflecting on the past year. Maybe a particular event that stands out in our mind, maybe a series of events throughout it. Even this morning, we can do that. And I would encourage you, take just a moment to consider this past year. As you do, what do you remember? What do you think of? Almost 365 days ago, we begin our journey through this thing that we call 2018. What did the year hold for you? What do you remember of it? Do you remember back to last January? Maybe the first, the second, the third, the very first days of it, on through the month, into February and March. Think marriage and family. Think finances. What do you remember? What events did your family go through together? What struggles, what obstacles, what celebrations maybe did you experience? Maybe it was a Hallmark anniversary or birthday that you remember, a great time to bring the family together. Maybe there was something more from a negative aspect that impacted your family or your marriage. Maybe your finances. Was there a breakthrough? Maybe 2018 was the year that you became debt-free. Or maybe there was a setback in the finances, maybe in your health. Were there great successes? Maybe were there some setbacks there? Did you lose more weight than you ever lost in any other year? Did you get more healthy than you've ever been in any other year? Or maybe were there more days spent in the hospital than any other year or at the doctor's office? Think spiritually. Think the highs, the lows. What do you remember of 2018? Easy, of course, for us to remember last week, 2 weeks ago, maybe even a month ago. Harder for us to go all the way back, to really get a picture of what the year was like for us, what it held for us, what it included for us. What sort of grade do you give 2018? So, C is called average, right? Anything above C is above average. Anything below a C would be below average. If we could just be honest for a moment, no one's going to judge you. How many would rate 2018? If you're to give it a grade, it's above average. You're going to give it an A or a B. Raise your hand. There's like three of us. Would you just bow your heads and pray for all the rest? Below average. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you rate it? We could do the same. If we counted 5, the middle, we could assess how many maybe would rate the year below a 5 or how many above a 5. That's our own quick moment of retrospect. Looking back, reviewing, considering, even meditating on the events of the past year. So 18 has been called David's retrospect. It's interesting to consider David's life. First introduced to him, we immediately see God's favor upon him. 1 Samuel 16 is the story. David is anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. And we love the story. We're immediately drawn to David, even just in our introduction of him. David doesn't even really do anything in the story except not show up to the party. In fact, really better to be said this way, not even get invited to the party. Some of you remember the story. Samuel has come. Jesse has brought to him all of his sons except David. Samuel goes through one by one. Surely this must be the man that God has anointed, that God has called to be king, because Saul has messed it up. Saul has gone too far in the wrong direction, and God has chosen someone else to lead his people. And as the sons are brought before Samuel, each one, it must be this one. But every time, no, because God looks not at the outside, but the inside. God looks at the heart. Finally, there's no one left. Samuel, confused, maybe wondering if in fact he did hear from the Lord at all, if he got the word of the Lord correct, if he was at the right house. Jesse, do you have any more sons? And as a sort of afterthought, oh yeah, there's David. I can't imagine, though, that David would be the king. He's the youngest, but he is my son. I left him in the fields with the sheep. He belongs there more than the palace. But David is brought in, and he is anointed as the king. From there, we move right into 1 Samuel 17, and it's David and Goliath. And wow, once more, God's favor upon David. God's anointing upon David. No doubt but that he is the man for the hour. Saul's army is running and hiding at the very mention of Goliath's name. And David, little David, shepherd boy David, his response, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would dare to defy the living God and his armies? And David kills Goliath. And immediately is a hero throughout all of Israel. We expect chapter 18 of 1 Samuel to be then David's coronation. 16, we're introduced, anointed as king. 17, he defeats the enemy Goliath and the hordes of Philistines. 18, surely God brings him now miraculously, supernaturally, wonderfully, in the celebration of all Israel and God's people to the throne. It's not. In fact, David's story takes a nosedive. Commentators will tell us it's probably some 20 years from Samuel's anointing of David to Israel's acceptance of David as king. It's a very messy story filled with trouble, hardship, and heartache, even for David. 20 years of it. Remember, Saul is going to try to kill David. David plays the harp for Saul because it soothes Saul, but then Saul, in a rage, is going to pick up that javelin and that spear and more than once throw it at David with the intent to kill him. You maybe remember the story of David and Jonathan out in the field there, because David is fearful of his life because Saul wants to kill him. And so the arrangement made, Jonathan, you're going to tell me, is it safe to come back home or do I need to run? And Jonathan comes and shoots the arrows, and if I tell my servant to get him, you know it's okay, you can come back. If I tell my servant it's too far, you know, David, it's too far gone, you've got to get out of here. And the scene in that field, best friends parting ways, David on the run now for real. And the intensity of the next few years, we get the picture in Scripture at times. David on one side of the mountain, Saul just around the bend, hot on his trail, in real trouble. David even panicking a bit. Saul coming to camp out in the very cave where David is hiding. David will be betrayed. The city that he makes his place of refuge, the people there will tell Saul, hey, David is here. You can find him here. You can come get him here. Some of you will remember in the end, David will end up in Philistine country. It's not his finest hour for sure. Do you remember David acting insane so that the king of the Philistines would let him hide out? And do you remember David's job, as it were? While living among the Philistines, he goes into neighboring towns and villages and he plunders, and he kills, and he takes. It's his means of survival, if you will. towards the end of 1 Samuel, the story, Israel and the Philistines are at war again. And as the Philistines go to fight Saul, David goes with them. It's very strange. David is in real trouble here. He's going into battle with the enemy to fight his own people. And though the story could have gone a number of ways, we're not sure what would have happened if David would have made it to the battlefield. Would he have fought against Saul? Would he have turned against the Philistines? Would he have won Saul's favor if he had, or would Saul just have sought to kill him after the fact? We don't know. In the end, we're saved from having to read that. Really, in a sense, God saves David from that. The Philistine leaders tell the king, David can't come with us. One thing to have him live with us, goes in and raids elsewhere and does what he does, but altogether different to invite him to go with us to war against his very own people. And so they send David back home, only to find that marauders have come, taken all the men's wives and their children and stuff. And so now we find David again going off to fight just one more enemy. On the run, a fugitive in trouble, his life constantly threatened, his life, one hardship after the other. He's fighting everybody. He's hiding out in caves. He's afraid. He's anxious. He's lost everything. Some of you will remember, upon defeating Goliath, David was given the king's daughter in marriage, albeit by marriage. David was, in effect, royalty. He loses it all. His family, comfort, connections, relationship, and David struggled, even spiritually. At times, during this time, losing out even on his relationship with God. Now it's over. Now the retrospect. Now the reviewing, the considering, the meditating upon the past. For David, not like us, not just the past year, for David, the past 20 years. And can you imagine how this is going to read? Thanks a lot, God, right? Hey, thanks, God, for choosing me. Wow, that's been an awesome 20 years. Next time you need to anoint someone as king, how about, God, you leave me alone and choose one of my brothers instead? God, don't you remember? I said yes to you. I loved you. I served you. Don't you remember out there in the shepherd's field, the songs of praise and worship? God, is this the life for those who say yes to you? Is this what life looks like? Those who choose you, on the run, in trouble, life threatened, hardship after hardship, too many enemies to count, all of them wanting to kill me, constant fear, constant worry, have to lose everything. Hey God, thanks, but no thanks. Find someone else. I'm staying with the sheep. David's retrospect, Psalm 18. Are you ready for all David has to say to God after the 20 years of life lived like his was? Here it is, David's retrospect, Psalm 18 and verse 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. He parted the heavens and came down. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. The Lord, verse 13, thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies. Great bolts of lightning and routed them. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. Verse 16, he drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Verse 28, you, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against the troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles don't turn. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. Verse 43, you've delivered me from the attacks of the people. 46, the Lord lives. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock, exalted be God, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you among the nations. O Lord, I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Don't miss it this morning. Don't miss David's story. As you read Psalm 18, read it through the lens of all David experienced, all that he went through, all the trouble, all the hardship, 20 years of it. After 20 years of waiting, 20 years of nothing but difficulty, David sits down and he looks back over it all and writes a love letter to God. Rather than one of complaint, this is his grateful retrospect. This, his song of praise. The NIV adds this notation, maybe other Bibles as well, to introduce the psalm. For the director of music, of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. David sang a song of praise to God for who God is, for all that God had been, for all that God was and would be to him and for him. David sang this song, the Lord is my rock, and he is my fortress, and he is my deliverer, and he is my shield, and he's the horn of my salvation, and he is my stronghold. Once again, don't forget David's story. Remember the trouble. Remember the running. Remember the threat at every turn in his life. In retrospect, though, David sings a song not of complaint, but rather instead a song of praise to God. David sang a song of praise for God's faithfulness to him. Verse 30, what a God he is. How perfect in every way. All his promises prove true. He is a shield for everyone who hides behind him. David sang a song of praise for God's salvation. Psalm 18 and verse 4, one translation puts it this way. The hangman's noose was tight at my throat. Devil waters rushed over me. Hell's ropes cinched me tight. Death traps barred every exit. A hostile world, I called to God. I cried to God to help me. And from his palace, he hears my call. My cry brings me right into his presence, a private audience. Verse 16, me, he caught. Reached all the way from sky to sea. He pulled me out of that ocean of hate. That enemy chaos, the void in which I was drowning. They hit me when I was down, but God stuck by me. He stood me up on a wide open field. I stood there saved, surprised to be loved. David sang a song of praise to the Lord for God's good and perfect plan, for God's good and perfect work in him. David knew it before Paul ever wrote it. It's true. God does work good in all things, even in the 20 years of troubled things. The difficult journey had produced good in David, had been good for David, made him to be the man he needed to be in order to be the king that God wanted him to be. David recognized that the years of trouble had done something necessary in him, something good in him. David knew that his faith had been tested. But as he looks back, he realizes his faith has also been proven true. He no longer simply has faith that God is his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his shield, his salvation, his stronghold. David doesn't simply believe it to be true. He knows it to be true. His story testifies not to the belief of who God is and what he does, but the experience of who God is and what God does. 20 years looking back, considering, reviewing, meditating on David's retrospect, in light of all he experienced and went through, his was a retrospect of gratitude and thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." The message puts it this way: thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Jesus to live. One author says this: when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. Give thanks. Be thankful in all circumstances, no matter what happens. Doesn't leave us much wiggle room, does it? Not hard to interpret what Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians. In what circumstances? In them all. Well, pastor, what about this circumstance? What about that? Well, is it a circumstance? Yes, it is. Then in it, you're to give God thanks. In what things? In everything. Well, pastor, but what about this? And what about that? Well, is it a thing? Yes, it is. Then in all things, we're to give him thanks. How often to be thankful? Always to be thankful. I just challenge you this morning. If you're not living in gratitude in any moment, I'm just going to tell you, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you are out of God's will for your life. In any, but pastor, you don't understand. I've been laid up in the hospital, sick. No. You don't understand. In all circumstances. In all things. But pastor, you don't understand what family life has been for me. You don't understand the chaos. You don't understand the trouble. You don't understand the boss that I work for. You don't understand how he's treated, what he's done to me. You don't understand the betrayal that I've experienced, the things that I've gone through. And you are absolutely right. And I don't mean at all to diminish any of those things. But I simply remind you of God's word. You can read it as well as I do in 1 Thessalonians 5. Be thankful in all circumstances. Thank God no matter what happens. This is God's will for you. I would caution you, dear brother and sister, be careful of being out of God's will. Pastor, you mean what job I take or don't take? You mean who I marry or don't marry? You mean whether I buy this house or buy that house, whether I move here? No. Well, yes. But be careful that you don't miss God's will in simply this: to be thankful in all circumstances, no matter what happens. One writes, from dawn to dusk, there ought to be an unceasing undercurrent of gratitude in all we do and say. David's retrospect was a grateful one, even in light of all he'd been through. And in his gratitude, and because of his gratitude, he found reason to praise. Gratitude, thanksgiving, will always lead you to praise. Praise or complaint. Praise or worry. Praise or fear. It will always be one or the other coming from your mouth. And David's story, scripture reveals this to us. If there is gratitude in your heart, it will be praise that comes from your mouth. I love you, Lord. I've been on the run. I've been in trouble. 20 years of hardship. That's my story. But never mind that. I want to tell instead God's story. The Lord is my rock, and he's my fortress, and he's my deliverer, my rock in whom I take refuge. He's my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who's worthy of praise. He is the Most High God. That's what David proclaims in verse 13. In verse 20, he's the God whose way is perfect, whose word is flawless, and he's a shield for all who take refuge in him. And his gratitude, and because of his gratitude, David, despite his story, found a song of praise to sing to the Lord. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. Listen to me. Your retrospect, may it be one of gratitude, thanksgiving. Maybe it's been a difficult year. Maybe you give it a failing grade. Maybe it's too low to even register on your 1 to 10 rating. Listen to me, though, this morning. In all things, give thanks. Turn your eyes to the Lord who lives, who loves you, who is with you, who is for you, who is your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your salvation, your stronghold. Turn your voice to praise. Listen to me. You don't need a different story. Well, Pastor, my retrospect, 2018, if 2018 would have been different, I could have a retrospect of gratitude and I could sing today a song of praise. But there was trouble at every turn. There was hardship for 365 days. There were enemies too numerous to count. And I say to you, welcome to David's story. For 20 years. And yet when David looks back on his 20 years, his is a retrospect of gratitude and his is a song of praise. So my encouragement to you, dear brother and sister, let's be like David was and do like David did. Let's have a retrospect of gratitude and let's sing to him a new song of praise. You don't need a different story. You don't need for 2018 to have been different. For you need just a heart of gratitude. There is no God like my God. Oh, the Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. And watch this. In his gratitude, and because of his gratitude, David watch this, is strengthened. Look at it in verse 29. Now in your strength, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Listen, don't forget it. This is David, 20 years of trouble. Come on, some of us, we have a day of trouble. I'm not scaling no wall. I'm not advancing against anybody. I'm going to bed. But David, this is David, 20 years on the run for his life. I can advance against a troop. With God, I can scale a wall. Verse 33, now I run like a deer. I'm king of the mountain. Verse 34, he shows me how to fight. I can bend a bronze bow. Verse 37, I chased my enemies. I caught up with them and did not turn back until all were conquered. I nailed them. They were down for good. Then I walked all over them. You armed me well for this fight. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. Verse 43, you gave me victory in every battle. David is not overcome, nor is he too exhausted to praise. Rather, instead, he is supernaturally strengthened. Listen to me this morning. Gratitude will bring the praise out of you, and the praise from you will be supernatural strength for you. Let me say it again. Gratitude will bring the praise out of you. Have a grateful retrospect. Have a grateful heart, and you won't be able to help yourself. From your grateful heart will come a song of praise, a new song. It won't matter your story. It won't matter the year. It won't matter the events of it. A grateful heart, from it will flow a new song of praise, and the praise from you will be supernatural strength for you. Gratitude brings the praise, and praise brings the strength. I don't say it to be rude or mean. I don't say it at all in any way to diminish what you've gone through this last year, perhaps. But this morning, I say it because some need to hear it. The reason that you are not supernaturally strengthened, it has nothing to do with your story. It has nothing to do with your hardship nor your trouble. It has nothing to do with how the year has been or how the year has gone. It has everything to do with this. You have exchanged your gratitude for complaint. And because there is no gratitude in you, there is no praise coming from you, there is no supernatural strength then for you. Gratitude. Praise re-energizes us, supernaturally strengthens us. May your heart then be filled with that. No matter your story, you today, like David was back in the day, you can advance against the troop. You can scale the wall. Listen to me, some of you this morning, you need to hear it in praise. Through pray. Some of you need to sing a new song of praise. Some of you need to lift your voice, a new song of praise to God. And it's in that you will run like the deer. Bend the bow of bronze. Conquer and crush the enemy. Be king of the mountain. Have the victory. David's retrospect in the end, it's not so much all that he had gone through. It's not so much a simple recounting the events of his life, as much as it was considering, meditating upon all God had done for him. God had proven himself true. 20 years of hardship, 20 years of trouble, God had never failed David. And for that reason, though the 20 years were difficult ones, David's was a retrospect of gratitude and praise. I want to caution you and encourage you this morning. First, be careful of letting the negative circumstances of the past year define the year for you. You can this morning, the rest of today, and even tomorrow, you can spend that time recounting all the trouble, all the difficulty, all the hardship, all the things that went wrong, all the reasons you have to complain. Or you can recount all that God has done for you. God has been faithful to you. Yes, he has. God has seen you through. God has helped you. You may be still needing his help in some areas of your life. Maybe things haven't always gone the way you wanted them to, expected, hoped they would, the way you prayed they would. Listen, God has worked for you. God has worked in you. God has been good. He has been your rock. He has been your fortress. He has been your deliverer. He has been your strong tower. I would caution you this morning, don't let the negative of life steal that from you. Don't let it compromise in you the heart of gratitude that would be pleasing to the Lord, the heart of gratitude that would bring praise out of you and that would be supernatural strength for you. One author writes this, we can all identify with painful periods of uncertainty in life, yet only some are able to reflect back as David did and rejoice at the mighty attributes of God. Facing difficulty for many believers is no different than that of the non-believer. They kick and scream, complain and blame, are anxious and consumed with worry. They lack communion and dependency on God. They miss the privilege of entering his secret hiding place during their darkness and the opportunity to personally experience unexplainable peace during hardship. When the crisis has ended, they are the same. Gone is that opportunity to know God more, to prove their faith genuine. And lost is that specific chance to proclaim him in the midst of it. Be careful of letting the negative steal from you the privilege of knowing him more and knowing him better. Be careful of letting the negative steal from you the opportunity to know his peace that passes all understanding, from knowing his joy that would be for you your strength. Be careful of letting the negative steal from you the producing within you of a genuine faith. And I would encourage you, even in all things, as you look back over the past year, may it be that you and I see it through the lens, see it all through the lens of gratitude. In all things. Easy to do it in the high moments when all was going well. Harder to do it in the more difficult moments. Yet today we do like David did. We recognize whether the good or the bad, the easy or the difficult, God was helping us. God was being faithful to us. God was being our rock, our fortress, our strong tower, our salvation, and our deliverance. God was producing in us a faith. Peter tells us it's a faith that is of greater worth than gold. A genuine faith that God was producing in us that results in glory and honor and praise when Jesus comes. So with gratitude, with a new song of praise, we look back. How do you define 2018? How do you describe it? Well, after this morning, the consideration of David's example, I pray, maybe in fact you would even just give it a one-word description, gratitude. How do you describe 2018? I'm thankful. But wait a minute. You mean to tell me you're thankful for, I'm thankful for it all. You mean to tell me in everything, you mean to tell me every single day, all that you experienced, all that you went through, I am thankful in everything because in everything, 365 days, on the mountaintop, in the valley, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it combined and mixed together, God was being faithful to me. God was being my rock. God was producing in me faith in it all, in everything. I know that he loves me. I know that he's with me. I know that he's for me. And I pray as we get ready into the new year, enter into the new year, it's not just a looking back, but that this morning we can look ahead. Once more, the caution, be careful, the negative. I know it's not the most encouraging thing to consider this morning, but in the year ahead of us, there's going to come some struggles. There's going to be some difficult circumstances. We're going to have to face some battles. We're going to have to fight. There's going to be some unexpected storms. We'll have to navigate through some wilderness wanderings we weren't quite prepared for, some valley excursions. Don't forget, through it all, like David, we can come to the place where gratitude defines our lives, no matter what the current condition of our life. I pray as you look back, as you look forward, whatever you see, whatever you've come through, whatever awaits you through it all, you see it all through the lens of gratitude for who God is, how he works, his plan, his good and perfect will, his good and perfect purposes for your life. As you consider the year that now comes to its conclusion, may yours be a grateful retrospect. Rather than simply recounting all that you've gone through and all that you've experienced, may you obey the command of the great hymn and count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings, your many, many blessings, and see all that God has done. And as you prepare for the year ahead, may you set for your life the firm foundation. God is faithful. God loves you. God cares for you. God is with you. God is for you. God is at work in you. Before you live even one day of it, may you set that as the foundation for all of it, so that 365 days from now, almost, yours will once more be a grateful retrospect. You'll set the appointment this morning, but you don't know what's going to happen in 2000. But you don't know what you're going to go through. But you don't know financially. But you don't know in your health. But you don't know. But you do know that your God is faithful. And you do know that he is with you. And he is for you. He loves you. He's your rock. He's your fortress. He's your salvation. He's your deliverer. So today you set the appointment for 365 days from now. Another day of grateful retrospect. I pray that in all we have and would experience in all things, our lives defined by gratitude and by a song of praise. I love you, Lord. You have been so, so good to me. Oh, so faithful to me. You're worthy of praise. I called to the Lord. You've called to the Lord. And he heard me and he heard you and he answered us. And he's reached down from on high and taken hold of us, drawn us out of the deep waters and rescued us, turned our darkness into light, armed us with strength, made our way perfect, given us the victory, shown us his unfailing kindness, his undeserved favor. Oh Lord, there is none like you. So I sing praises, praises to your name. I pray that in all we have and would experience in all things, for the year past and for the year to come, ours would always be like David's was, a grateful retrospect, a new song of praise to our God. Father, I thank you this morning for who you are, and in 20 years of hardship, who you proved yourself to be. For David, faithful, true, powerful, mighty to save. God, there is no one like you. It's true. There is no rock like our God. Father, this morning, I pray that as all of us sit in this room and we've spent even a quick moment at the beginning, at the outset of this message, considering the year past, And maybe throughout even the message, we were remembering more and thinking of more. And maybe we'll do that tomorrow and even into Tuesday as we step into the new year, remembering what the previous one was like for us. I pray that rather than get caught up in the events as they unfolded for us, that Father, instead we're caught up in the wonder and the glory of who you are, who you've been to us, what you've done for us. And I pray, whether it's a retrospect of the year past or a looking ahead the year to come, ours is gratitude. May it be that thanksgiving in all things saturates our heart, so that praise can come from our mouth, and so that strength can be granted to us.